All right, Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, the Vinny and Cook Show. Vinny Ricchici, Ron Cook here with you, and the music in the background, the fantastic Johnny C. with Boogaloo Down Broadway. And the reason we play that is because we're going to introduce you to the fantastic Johnny C. from ESPN. And, of course, we would be remiss if we did not say the 2010 winner of the Sean Daugherty Distinguished Communicator Award from Duquesne University, John Clayton, joining us, of course, the NFL analyst and senior NFL writer. Hello, John Clayton. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I can't believe the Dukes are in first place. Isn't that great? That's been a long time for that been building up. So,
seven in a row, man. I mean, you got to be jumping for joy.
Absolutely. I mean, let's put it this way. I have to go back to when I was going to school with Norm Nixon to have had that kind of success, but I think you can see the program's building up. Very, very encouraging.
Well, that's the great thing about being here, and of course, John, you know, watching college basketball here with, you get one night you go over and you can watch Pitt and the Panthers, and then you go over and watch the Dukes over at Duquesne, and Robert Morris even, has had great fortune here in the last couple of years. It's a hotbed of college basketball.
And it's not doing too bad for football either.
Yeah, there's a few things going on here this weekend. A little AFC Championship action. First blush, you take a look at this game. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was listening to the update and talking about Bill Cowher's comment, and there's a number that's kind of fascinating that's been circulating for the last, I think, year. It's called the toxic number, okay? So the toxic number, you know, because everybody says, oh, yeah, you win games with turnovers. Well, you know, you do and you don't. I mean, because if you just stand there and protect the ball and get a few lucky breaks and don't do anything on offense, you pretty much lose, particularly as you get deeper and deeper into playoffs. Well, what the toxic number is turnovers, which, of course, the turnover differential, which the Steelers were second best in the league. And then also you take the X part of it, which is explosive plays, 20 yards or more. And that's where the Steelers really shine because, you know, I think Ben Roethlisberger's had involved with an offense that's had 62 pass plays that have been over 20 yards. And so the differential is a staggering 59 on the toxic number compared to anybody else. The next closest team is over at 30. And so the combinations of the big plays, as Bill Cowher talked about, the ability to kind of play any type of game, whether it's getting the run plays, getting the big pass plays, plus the ability to create turnovers, and then a defense that doesn't allow many big plays, really, I think, kind of shows why this team, you know, now has the home field advantage in a championship game.
Hey, John, it's Ron Cook. How are you,
Cookie.
Man? How you doing?
Doing good.
You talk about big plays. Most of them have come from Ben Roethlisberger to Mike Wallace. The first time the Jets played, they put Darrell Revis on Hines Ward and followed him all over the field and left Cromartie to try to deal with Wallace. What do you expect this week? And is Revis better matched against Wallace than perhaps Hines Ward?
I would have to say that, Revis probably would be better matched up against Hines Ward because one of the things that's an issue for Antonio Cromartie, although I did talk to Revis about that after the game Sunday, and he does feel there's a possibility of a switch. But the problem is if you switch off on Antonio Cromartie, and you know, all of a sudden have Wallace go against Revis, then what ends up happening is that Cromartie tends to fall asleep during the games. And I'm not saying, you know, takes naps or anything like that, but you can lull him into mistakes. You know, he gets bitten on the double move. You know, he doesn't like to be real physical. I mean, all he likes to do is run with a guy. Well, you know, Hines Ward doesn't have a lot of speed. Mike Wallace has a lot of speed. So the question is, do you put Antonio Cromartie on Ward, who can really just beat him with the short move, moves, the double moves, and then get open in the short area? Or do you just simply take Revis and put him on Wallace and shut him out? I'd have to say you put him more on Hines Ward because I think what will end up happening, if you have Ward going against Cromartie, Cromartie could really look bad in that matchup. You know, it may not be as many big plays, but it could be something that would be a real problem for the Jets defense.
What about when it comes to defense on the Steelers side? I mean, obviously a defense that loves to stop the run. The Jets like to run the ball, don't they?
They do, but they're not as good as they were running the ball last year. I mean, they were better served when they had the ability to have Thomas Jones on first down, pound it away, and then have Sean Green come on as, you know, Thomas started to wear down, you know, because they could get 35, 37 carries a game and get over 150 yards. Well, even though there's been a little bit of an uptick in the last couple of weeks with LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, he's still, you know, kind of that old car that's kind of running down and not doing much. And Sean Green really has not gotten into any kind of close risk. rhythm. So they can do some good things rushing, but they're not as powerful running the football. And also, too, not having Damian Woody at right tackle because he's on injured reserve really takes away a little bit more of their run game. So they have to be balanced, but they don't have that extra run balance that they had a year ago.
John Clayton from ESPN with us here on Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan, the Vinny and Cook Show.
John, Mark Sanchez went to Indianapolis, led his team to a win against Peyton Manning, went to New England, led his team to a win against Tom Brady. Is he good enough to come to Pittsburgh and lead his team to a win against Ben Roethlisberger?
If the Steelers let him hang around, he can. I mean, you can see that he still struggles. I mean, in the first parts of games, particularly, I'd say even over the last 5 or 6 weeks, he has a tendency to throw very high and make more mistakes. And so it's almost like the team has to cover for him. And when the team's been able to cover for him by keeping him in the games, because the one thing that he is a great competitor. And if you keep him with the confidence of being at least close enough to make a big play, once he can get that one big play, then he can seal the deal and get the victory. But if he has to play from behind, it's not that good. I mean, he's right now at that stage where he's more of a rollout quarterback. He's not a quarterback that can consistently stay in the pocket, throw 35, 40 passes, and win a football game. The game has to be managed for him to win. And if he's behind, it's going to be one that it's going to be very tough for him to really make a big comeback of more than 10 points. So it's really up to the Steelers to be able to, you know, take the advantage of having the lead in the first half and then putting pressure on him in the second half. Just don't let him hang around in the fourth quarter to try to win the game.
John, I mean, you look at the record of these two coaches, and although, of course, Mike Tomlin has the Super Bowl to his credit, eerily similar records. Of course, Rex Ryan threw 2, Mike Tomlin threw 4, but yet their winning percentages and playoff percentages are about the same. Who do you give the advantage to coaching-wise in this contest?
It has to be Mike Tomlin because he's won more big games. You know, the one thing you can see is that even when Rex was a defensive coordinator in Baltimore, he had the advantage, at least Mike did for the most part, because he had Ben Roethlisberger. And as long as Ben's on the field, he's been able to at least have a slight edge over a Rex Ryan defense or the inheritors of the Rex Ryan defense. And so, you know, the advantage goes to Tomlin because, you know, they're both master motivators. And that's why I think you see the respect coming from both because, you know, one thing is if Tomlin's not going to be intimidated by all the type of personal talk and all that stuff. And I think that's why Rex has kind of called off the dogs on that one and kind of gone into more of the respect factor. So in a lot of ways, even though the Jets like to really stir it up, you know, Rex is kind of turning this more into a Baltimore-Pittsburgh game than he is a Jets-Patriot type of game.
Has he actually got to go in there and tell his guys, hey, let's tone it down this week? Or do they kind of know that by implication?
All he has to do is just tell Bart Scott to tell him, and Bart Scott will be able to get the word around. I mean, that's the one thing, because, you know, if you tell Bart, Bart's going to be the one doing most of the talking. So as long as you get him to at least to follow what Rex wants, and, you know, Bart is one of the, you know, he's the biggest fan of Rex Ryan, is one of the reasons he came over from Baltimore. So as long as Bart says it, it'll carry through the locker room. And let's put it this way. There'll still be some comments because, I mean, Antonio Cromartie will say something silly and a couple of the other guys might, but at least they have a good control in the locker room. And it's a good locker room because one thing you love is locker rooms that like to talk. So if you keep on asking them questions, you might be able to pry out a few good comments.
John Clayton, senior writer for ESPN.com and ESPN, with us here on Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan, the Vinny and Cook Show.
John, I thought the Jets really got after Tom Brady without really blitzing all that much. Is the rebuilt Steelers line going to be able to get it done against the Jets?
That's the big question. I mean, the rebuilt Steelers line still has a lot of cracks and a lot of potholes and a lot of problems, and you know they've got to hold up as well as they possibly can. I mean, it's not a matter where you can think that the offensive line is going to dominate. I just don't think it has the ability to do so. You know that the middle is pretty well sealed, but you worry about how the tackles can be taken advantage of. And that's the one thing that I think we saw on Sunday that, you know, Matt Light is really starting to look old, and they were able to get Sean Ellison on him with some of the things that Rex was able to do with the defensive line. So I think it's going to be a problem. But the one thing, even after the game that they're talking about, is that, you know, they feel pretty confident they can get to Ben. The problem is they don't know if they can pull Ben down, because that's one thing that Roethlisberger can do is that he can have one or two guys hanging on him and still get the pass away. So it's a matter that wrapping him up is going to be the key, because I think that they feel they're going to have the chance to get their hands on him, but they don't know if they can pull him down, because Brady was seeing ghosts on Sunday. I mean, they were doing some blitzes, and there was times where you can see that he was scared as far as what he was doing, and I do think he was injured. But Ben, I mean, he's been injured. It just doesn't seem to matter to him right now.
Hey, John, I know we only have a couple more seconds with you. Let me ask you one question. Who's the best team out of the four left in this playoff right now?
I'd still say the Steelers because I think they're the most complete team. You know, you look and say probably Green Bay would be second just because they've got a hot quarterback, but they don't have the running game, and they still carry a lot of injuries on defense. You know, then I'd say the Jets are the third best team because, you know, of the four teams, they probably have the weakest of the four quarterbacks. And then the enigma still is Chicago. Good defense, decent running game, but also, too, a quarterback that you don't know if he's going to be Jeff George or if he's going to be a good quarterback.
So you like Steelers and Green Bay?
I do, yeah. Yeah, because I know it's going to be, you know, sometimes, you know, it's easy just to take the home team, and the home team in Pittsburgh means a lot, but I've been to three Bears games at home, and I watch teams put up 24 to 30 points on their defense because their defense in Chicago just can't adjust to that field conditions. You know, they can't generate the speed that they normally can, and they rely on their speed and their cover two defense. So I think it'll be probably Green Bay and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I got a weird feeling watching that game last week that if the Seahawks would have been able to hold on to a couple of balls there, they might have beat the Bears at some point.
Had they not lost two tight ends in what's a two tight end offense,
yeah.
You know, now they lost any chance to run the football. And then when they gave up that touchdown pass early, then they were in a trailing mode the whole game. Yeah, it was just one that, I'm going to listen, they're a 7-9 team. They weren't that good. So it's like, that's why everybody in Seattle right now, they're panicking over how bad it is. It's like, listen, you had one more win than the Patriots, for God's sake.
Exactly. Hey, John, quickly, are we going to have labor peace? I know Goodell, Commissioner Goodell came out yesterday, talked a little bit about wanting to get something done, but are we going to see a season or the start of the season on time next year?
The season will start on time, but the big mistake would be if the owners let this go more than a week into a lockout, because what you don't want to do is ruin an off season that grows and grows the interest of this game. And if you do that, I mean, the owners are going to lose because, first off, they'll lose sponsorships. Secondly, they'll lose some interest. And, you know, listen, there's a lot of fantasy people that want to keep knowing all those transactions. And if you shut it down, that's not good. I do think, I mean, the money's there to do it. It's a bad economy, but there's no bad economy in the NFL. It's a matter of settle with the players and stop calling out the players, which is what they're doing right now. Remember, you want the players to take a reduction. Make it sweet, put some honey in it, and then make it work out.
John Clayton, I love you, man. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. John Clayton from ESPN joining us here. The only guy in the world, of course, he's got an ISD line right in his bedroom. He's actually in bed, hanging out, sipping a pina colada while he's talking to us. Papiani has one, too, doesn't he, in his line in his bedroom as well. I have Ian Cook here with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.